Good morning. If you would bow with me, please. Father, this morning we come to you as thankful that we are able to be here. We have quite a few with us, and we have even more prayerfully that's with us on Facebook this morning. We look forward to the day when we can all be back together in one place together. This morning, I'd like to lift a few people up in prayer, especially in Teresa Harrow, may be facing cancer surgery next week. We pray that you'll be with her. If she has to go through a surgery, that things outcome will be great, and they may be able to take care of the problem. Also, Lord, we lift up a prayer of thanksgiving and also concern the Paul Caldwell family. His daughter and grandson has been tested positive and are recovering from COVID. And Paul and his wife were tested negative. So we thank you for praise for that they were not have a problem with the virus. But we also like to keep in mind, I know last week we recognized and had a special service for our teachers, and we just pray that you will be with our students, our teachers, and then all the staff in the schools. It is a trying time. I'm sure the staff and stuff, it's altogether different. The students is altogether different. And we just pray that with your help and the prayers to you, that things will come together and they may all have a successful and a safe year. Lord, we pray for this country. Right now, as we're going through political campaigns and back and forth, we just pray that you will be the focus, that they'll can look past the rhetoric that they've got and to focus their love on you and let your love shine through for this country. We need you. That's the only way I think we're going to pull things out is through you, Lord. And we just pray that you'll keep your hand on us and you'll keep us safe and that we may have a future and you will be the center of it. Lord, we also lift up the church here. As I mentioned earlier, we are worshiping together. But again, we have the virus, and it affects the way we worship. And we just pray that as we seek you out, that you will be the center of our lives. And we pray that this virus will leave, that we can find a cure, that we can find something, that we can all be back together again. We miss the face-to-face contact, the closest we can have with each other, and the closest it brings us to you. And we just pray that you will help those who are working on the cure, that it may come quickly and that we may be able to worship together. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings. We are truly blessed, even through all these times. We are truly blessed, and we just thank you for that and pray that you will continue to watch over us and to help us to reach out and to spread your name to others. In your son's name, I pray. Amen.
Psalm 89, verses 1 through 5. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever. I will build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. So why do we sing here today? We're singing in praise. We are continuing our prayer. Our collective needs were lifted up through Steve. And now, with communal voices, we worship the God to whom those prayers were given. We've now come to the Lord's Supper. Read with me, if you would, Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. For me, the easiest way to get down to it is I just bend the tab down, and the plastic top comes right off. But, so let us consider the body first. I'd have us look more deeply into the Lord's Supper. Christ was sacrificed for our sins. That is to say, Christ was sacrificed for your sins. Christ was sacrificed for my sins. Christ our Lord was sacrificed on a cross. Creation warped for the sole purpose of pain and suffering of man. Christ went there because of the sins that I committed yesterday and the sins I will commit today. As we break the body, remember that we are present in the crucifixion, in as much as the Romans who nailed him upon it, because without our sin, he would not have been there. Let us eat now, confess our sins to the Lord, and take that as a moment of remembrance. The bread and body of Christ nourishes us in spirit and physically. But I said we were as guilty as the Romans upon the cross, or Romans who put him upon the cross. But this is not a sacrament of guilt. This is not a chance for us to revel in how guilty we are and how much we have failed God. This is a sacrament of forgiveness and mercy. We have the blood of Christ represented here in the fruit of the vine. This cup, Christ gave this blood to us on the cross, not as a requirement of our sin, but as a gift to us in our sin. 2,000 years ago, before I had any inkling I would need this, or my parents had any inkling that I would even exist to need this, Christ knew of me, knew of my sin, and died for me. Let us drink now in communion, as was passed down through the church in Christ's words. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink now and think in remembrance on his love. The ushers had asked that I remind people there are trash cans on the edge of the various entrances. When you leave, please do remember to take your trash with you. I will try to remember mine. I will set it there for now. So for our lesson, I've started everything off with a description of why we're here. So let us read Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. It reads, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we might no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." We come here for lessons on Sunday, remotely and physically. We come for lessons during the week. As far as I know, only remotely, but perhaps there are those who will meet physically as well. We are called to come and learn in worship. In fact, to learn is to worship because it makes us Christian. It makes us more like Christ. So with that said, let us now enter into the lesson that we're going to get into this Sunday. And we're going to read the text that we will be learning from. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and taking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the question we are asking ourselves today, the question I posed at the beginning, is why are you here? And I don't mean here in the physical here, as we've described it thus far in the four walls of our church. Why are you here in the body of Christ? To rephrase our question, I could ask, why... Slide decks off. There we go. Why do you Christian? I use Christian as a verb because when we look back at the passage, what we see is teaching, fellowship, and communion. Each of those is an action. Christians are not a static state that we achieve. It is a process that we engage with. If we were to break those down in teaching, what we do is not exclusively in the giving of lessons, but through the living of our lives, through the example that we present to others in how we live out Christ through the law of love, in loving others and loving God in our daily lives, we teach those around us and we use that to build up the body. We use that to, as the Bible says elsewhere, iron sharpening iron. It is through our lives that that happens, not necessarily through individual teaching. So we are all called to teach, but each in their own way. For fellowship, we recognize that as the church and as humans, we have mental and social needs. I can't just get a plate of rice and a cup of water and be good for the day and then just repeat that again. No, there's more to being human than food and drink. And we as the church have been committed to doing those things, to meeting those needs among each other in fellowship. And to accept in fellowship is also more than just that. It's more than accepting the good parts and enjoying in the good parts of each other, because there's a prerequisite that everyone must have before they enter these doors. And that prerequisite is sin. And anyone who is sinful belongs in the church. It's all that we require for people to enter in our doors. We don't have a checklist that says, well, have you been saved? Have you been baptized? What are your good works? No. You come in, you're sinful. We know that. We accept that. And we accept it not in the, well, I'll tolerate it, but rather in the, we're going to make each other better. We accept ourselves. We accept others. We accept our faults, not because we have to, but because they belong here. We accept them because it is natural to do so. In communion, we revel in the foundation of our faith. This is where we get to wire the things we have on stage out of order and flipped upside down. Normally, we have the cross sitting up here to symbolize Christ's crucifixion. We have the baptismal here behind me to symbolize Christ's death. And we have that banner over here to symbolize Christ's resurrection. We're looking at the church, though, the inverted cross. According to church tradition, Peter, head of the church, was crucified upside down at his request so that he might die in a manner different than God. perhaps on his mind was he did not want to be venerated in the same way Christ was, to be crucified in a humiliating way, but also to recognize that he was dying in servants of someone, not as a sinless individual. But so, what is communion for us? Well, communion for us starts with the resurrection. Our communion starts with the fact that Christ has raised from the dead for us. We are joined in communion through baptism, where we ourselves represent in our lives a rebirth, a new person being formed by God for his service, and then we enter into the church, where our fellowship happens, a fellowship of sacrifice and humility, claiming in no way our works as our own, but our works as subservient to God. So if we could simplify these, this whole communion, fellowship, and why are we here? Well, we simplify it to two things: love of God and love of our fellow man. The golden rule, do unto God good and then do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I paraphrase. So why do we Christian? Why are we here? Why are you here? I point to no one in particular, yet to all, remotely and physically. What has led you to be in this building, to be in this faith here today? More than just your testimony, why do you continue? Why do you Christian? Why do we continue in the fellowship and communion? Well, I know for me growing up, part of what I went to church for was that I loved others. For me, I was simply there to play Christian and satisfy that, to see the love in others. I had no necessary love for God while I was here. That was meaningless. Nothing I did, no communion I took, meant anything because it was done for others and not for God. There are those within the church globally who come into the church and stay in the church for wealth. For them, they want to get the glory and the status that comes with it. The political position, as we see people elevated up through their faith in Christ. God has said that he is going to reject them because that is, in effect, similar. They have love for self, but neither love for God nor love for others. That is a third category. There are those who have come into the church for the purpose of destroying others, for harming, for the destruction. These are the news stories you read about. Pastor engages in this activity, headed to prison for life, headed to prison for 10 years, for 5 years. Priest and little boy, pastor and his Sunday school class. These people, God has said he has a special place for them when the judgment comes. But brothers and sisters, why are we here? We are here because of our foundation in love. We need to pull back and focus on our love of God to ensure that in loving God we love others, and that in all that we do we seek to build each other up and to build up those who are currently outside the church. Some final thoughts before we move into our final closing song. If you, and I point to no one in particular, but again, to everyone present physically and online, if you are here not out of love, be it known that I love you, that we, the church, love you. I said we didn't have a prerequisite for anyone coming in those doors, nor do we have a rule for what state they enter in. Anyone in these doors, on this world, is to be loved by us, and we should say that loudly. To those of us who are in the church, and I point the finger here squarely at myself, who have begun to let Christianity come into a ritual, something we do, well, it says it pleases God, but I won't engage it in worship. I won't engage with the intentionality behind what we do. For us, I have the weekly challenge of this. Let us write down one thing. Now, you can pull out your phone, text it to yourself, Text it to someone you want to hold yourself accountable to. What is one thing you can do this week to be intentional about your faith? For me, as I'm giving the sermon next time, I'm going to go ahead and hold myself accountable to all of you. For me, what I'm going to be doing is I want to work on my prayer life. Prayer for me can often be shoehorned into, God, these are the things I've been told to ask about. These are the things that I feel we need. God, these are the things I want to do. God, please give me. That's not worship. That is part of prayer, yes. We are called to ask and plead our needs to God, but we are also called to praise Him. And so that is my challenge to myself. In my prayers, and possibly even an entire prayer, I will just praise God. I want to thank Him for what He's already done. I want to thank Him for what He's doing in my life and in the lives of those that I get to observe. And through that, enjoy worship with God. Next week, we're going to be looking at how do we Christian? Somewhere in there. There we go. Slide deck. We're going to be looking at how do we Christian? How do we take this faith, this worship, and put it into practice in our lives? We're building a revival, building the body up. But if the body has energy, it needs to be moving. It needs to be doing. And that's what we'll be digging into. How can we do that within our lives? God bless everyone. We will be having a fellowship time after church at 12:30. Bring your lunch. We'll be meeting outside, socially distancing, out in the sun, cleansing, enjoying our food, enjoying some more time in Scripture. I'd encourage you to join us. God bless. Have a Jesus-filled week.
Now dismissed in prayer.
Good morning again, everyone. Appreciate the message from the brother. It was very timely, well presented. Thank you, sir. As we close out, I think about, you know, that the pandemic, the virus is still raging around the world and here at home. The politicians are still politicking. The other things that are natural to our living in this world is still happening. But you know what? Through all of this, God is still on His throne. He's still in charge. And one of the favorite passages in the Bible that is very, very comforting to me is John 14. In all of this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare one for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where you are, I will be also. Now, is that comforting? If you understand some of the culture of the Jewish population at that time, I found this out by listening to another sermon. He explained it fairly well. You got to remember the culture. When a man took a wife or took a bride to be his wife and got engaged, they had a big party, a big ceremony, and a big celebration. Then he sent his wife to be back to her family while he and his father and brothers and the rest of the family added a room onto their house because they all lived in the same house back then. Some houses would seat or take care of up to 50 to 100 people. So it makes a little more sense, you know, for the Jews understood it very well, but it makes a little more sense if we understand that. God has prepared a room for us. We are engaged to God. We are committed to God. We are His children. Bow with me, please. Holy Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the brother that presented the good message. Thank you for your son. And Father, as we go about this week, let us not have our hearts troubled because of all the things that's going on around us, but let us trust in you. You have promised us that we're going to get from point A to point B, but we still got to go through the trials of this life in Christ's name. Amen.